This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
God's Word.
God's Word.
And God's Word.
God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
With this Word.
This Word.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every time.
Every time.
This is God's Word.
This is God's Word.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Reveals His will.
Reveals His will.
For my life.
For my life.
Whatever this Word says.
Whatever this Word says.
Belongs to me.
Belongs to me.
I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
What it says I can do.
I can have.
What it says I can have.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking on the subject prayer, a sin preventer. Say that with me. Say prayer.
Prayer
is a sin preventer. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Last week we started off with James chapter 5 verse 16, and let me read that to you again from the Cotton Patch Bible. You don't have to turn there. It's a Cotton Patch Bible by Clarence Jordan. He was trying to paraphrase the Bible in a way that the southern people working on his farm would understand it. And he wanted to write it within that colloquial type of language so that they can identify with the Word of God in the way that they speak to one another. And he wrote this in, he paraphrased James 5:16 this way. He says, "Be honest with one another about your sins and pray for each other that you might get the victory over them. For the petition of a truly good man is powerfully effective." See, I believe that's a good paraphrase because you can get the victory over your sins through prayer. How many of y'all truly love God and you want to live a sin-free life?
Oh, I do.
I know I do. How many of y'all still mess it up?
Yeah.
I raise both hands on that. But if we strive to get into this Word and to stay in God's presence, I guarantee you that we will all get to the point where we sin less and less every day.
Amen.
You won't intentionally fall into sin. You won't, you're going to make mistakes because we're human. We stumble. The Bible says, James chapter 3 says that we all stumble in word and in deed. But see, there's a difference between stumbling and jumping right into it.
Mm-hmm.
See, when somebody commits adultery, for example, and they say, "Pastor, I made a mistake." I say, that is not a mistake. A mistake is when I slip and fall. An intention is when I'm taking off my clothes and the woman is right there with her clothes off, waiting. And I got plenty of time to say, "No, I'm not going to do that." Now, if I took my clothes off, we did whatever you do when you commit adultery. That's not a mistake. It's not a mistake for me to take a crack pipe, light it up, and puff it. That was intention. You are being intentional when you do that. It's not a mistake for me to go to the liquor store and buy a pint of whatever they buy, or to walk into a bar and have a beer. That, my friend, is not a mistake. That is intention. Amen?
Amen.
A mistake is when I might get upset and say a curse word, let a curse word slip out of my mouth that I didn't mean to. A mistake is when I might get angry and say the wrong thing. That's a mistake that's understandable. But some things are intention. You can prevent intentional sin if you spend time in God's presence. Praise the Lord. Sin can be prevented by prayer. I like what one brother said. He said, "Prayer is a sin killer." He said, "No one can sin and pray. For prayer will either make us cease from sin, or sin will make us cease from prayer." So, You can't do one of the two. As I challenged you last week, I told you, try to spend 30 minutes in God's presence and then see if you can go to the bar and cuss and hang out and drink all kinds of alcoholic beverages. Try to see if you can. I double dog dare you to try that. I bet you can. I share with y'all, I'm frank with my life. I'm very transparent. Sometimes a little too transparent. I get so transparent, sometimes it embarrasses my wife. But I don't want y'all ever trying to hold up any man of God, I don't care who he is, in some super high esteem as though he doesn't make mistakes. And I share with y'all how that almost happened to me. I never even drank before I got saved. And yet one day, in discouragement, I almost drunk some wine trying to get drunk because I'm upset about one stupid, silly situation. But thank God I have been praying. I have been leading a prayer life. So I was able to cease and desist before it went too far. Amen. Are you at Hebrews chapter 4 yet? Well, wait for me to get there. I want you to see that prayer, we've been talking a lot about prayer for the past couple of months. We taught on fasting. As a matter of fact, we got a book back there if you're interested called Shaping History Through Fasting and Prayer by a brother named Derek Prince. I really love him. He's one charismatic teacher that I really like a lot, who I believe has helped me in my life. And prayer makes a difference in all areas. You see, the problem with a lot of people is they want prayer just to get stuff. And there is a place for that. Because God wants to not only supply all of your needs, but he also wants to give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
God doesn't mind you. He doesn't mind giving to you money when you need it. He knows you. He doesn't mind giving you food. He knows you need a car. He'll bless you with that. But see, too many people only care about praying to God when they need to get material blessings. But see, prayer, if you truly are in love with God, then you will also use prayer in order to maintain a holy life. You will be in God's presence not just to get things from God, but to be seeking his face, saying, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be an example to others for you. I want to do right by you, Lord. I don't want to do anything to grieve you. Help me not to grieve you. You'll be doing things like that. Prayer will prevent you from falling into sin, into intentional sin. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Or another word can be confession. The word profession or confession simply means to say the same thing as. So, as you are making a declaration of your faith, Jesus, who is your high priest, is there backing up everything you say that's in line with the word of God. Praise God. He's your high priest. And so you are to hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering. Verse 15 goes on to say, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Let me stop right here to tell you and remind you, we've talked about this before, we'll talk about it again. Temptation is not sin. Amen? We all get tempted. As a matter of fact, as long as you are in this world, you will be tempted. You will be tested. You will be tried. The opportunities to sin will constantly come your way. You don't have to look for opportunities to sin. Sin seems to find us, don't it? I mean, you just turn on the TV. I share this with y'all. I don't know if I should or not. But during the fast, one of the things God told me to do, he said, less TV from now on. That's not all that difficult for me because I wasn't watching. watching a whole lot of TV anyway, but when he told me I couldn't watch no more Law and Order. Law and Order? Now, I'm not telling this is for y'all. He told this for me, for Pastor Troy, okay? He told me no more of that. I'm like, why? I mean, I'd love to see this case. I'd love to see Jack McCord take a case and bring it all the way through and prosecute whoever and destroy them and all that other stuff. You know, I love seeing all that litigation. But also, there were times that things would happen, you know, a commercial or something would come on TV, and I would have to either shut off my mind or turn my eyes or something like that, because there was opportunity for me to lust after either a woman or after some type of food that wasn't good for me, things like that. And so God is, during the fast, God told me, no more. If you love me, no more. So, for me, maybe not for you, but for me, that's one area of consecration I'm working on. Thank God I've been successful so far. My real test will be when I'm in South Carolina sitting in that hotel room. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Looking at the remote control saying, can I just watch one? But praise the Lord. I'm going to be spending a lot of time praying, seeking God's face for this body, for this congregation, and for each one of you as individuals. That's what I'm going to spend a lot of my 2 weeks doing in my free time when I'm not in class. But understand that temptation is not sin. Every one of us get tempted, and temptation follows us everywhere. The sin is when you fall into temptation. Amen? That's why we are to pray, lead us not into temptation. We are not to pray, God, help me to never be tempted, or help me to never have temptation come my way, because that's not a biblical prayer. But we are to ask God to make sure that we are not led into temptation. You understand the difference? So you don't want to fall into temptation. That is when you sin. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, who was God Almighty. See, Jesus existed long before he was ever born through the Virgin Mary. He was God. He was God who created the heavens and the earth. Amen?
Amen.
You know, in this church we believe in what you call the triune Godhead. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me to explain. I explained to you before. If you don't know what it is, get the tape. But I don't remember which one it was, so we'll get there again one day. But we know the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son is Jesus.
Yes.
He's part of the triune Godhead. God is one, yet three separate individuals. Jesus is God Almighty, and he came here through a virgin for you and I, because we were sinners and there was no way we could save ourselves, so he came as a human being to shed his blood on our behalf. Well, during his lifetime as a man, he was faced and confronted with temptation. But see, he was also, you gotta also remember, even though he was God Almighty, he was still a man and he faced temptation. And the Bible says, but he did not sin. Could he have sinned?
Yeah.
I believe he could have. Otherwise, it's not a genuine temptation. That should encourage you, because you don't have to fall into temptation. You can be tempted without sinning. Thoughts can come into your mind, the wrong thoughts can come into your mind, and you can still cast that thing out in the name of Jesus. If you're spending time in God's presence and in his word. Praise God. So Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. And because he faced the same temptations that you and I face, he is a capable high priest. You can now come to him and you can receive sympathy from him. You know, in other words, he doesn't sit back and say, I don't understand what you're going through. Why can't you just deal with that? No, now when you go to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is hard for me.
Yes.
I can't get over this guy. I can't get over that girl. Lord, I want them so bad. He can go to him and say that, And he can say, son, daughter, I understand. Lord, I can't seem to stop with this thing. I can't seem to stop going down that same alley. Son, daughter, I understand. But then he doesn't stop right there. Look at verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is what I like to call throne room rights. Say that with me. Say throne room rights.
Throne room rights.
You got, man, you are privileged. Children of God. You know, before in the Old Testament, it wasn't just anybody that can go to the throne of God. You know, they had to have a priest, a Levitical priest, who had to present all your sins before you. And they had to put a little thing, you know, I've been reading through the book of Exodus as my daily devotions, but they had to put a little rope around my man. And he had to go into the tabernacle to present your sacrifices to God. And if he messed up in one part of it, just any one part, that bell started ringing. They pulled out a dead man. And you were still in your sins because the person who was making a sacrifice for you was dead. Ain't that something? Thank God we ain't under the old covenant. We are now under the new covenant, and you can go directly to the throne of grace for yourself and find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Praise God.
Amen.
You and I have throne rights. We have access to the Spirit, to God by one Spirit. We have access to the Father by one Spirit. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Say throne room rights.
Throne room rights.
Oh yes, I have a right to go into the throne room and talk to my daddy.
Yes.
And tell him what I'm going through. I can call him up, tell him what I want. I can call him up, tell him what I want. Call him up, tell him what I want. I can call him up and tell him what I want. Woo! Jesus is on the main line. So it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, let me tell you a little bit about grace. Grace is the power to live right. Amen? Grace is God's supernatural empowerment to live right. You know what some people seem to, some of these churches nowadays seem to teach that grace is the right to sin and do whatever I want to do. That's how people seem to see grace. Yes, now, when you have sinned, grace is there and mercy is there to forgive you of your sin. But if you're going to walk in continuous grace, you've got to understand that grace is empowerment to keep from sin also. It is not the right or license to continue sinning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we got to learn to pray. We need to learn to get before God, go before the throne of grace, and find your grace to help in our time of need. Praise the name of the Lord. So as long as you and I are living in God's presence, when we have a tangible sense of God's nearness to us, then we are going to be more reluctant to do certain things, aren't we? You know, some of y'all know that I'm charismatic, you know, from a charismatic / Pentecostal background. You know, and I pray in tongues, and I use tongues in my private devotional prayer language. You know, I spend a lot of my time praying in the Spirit. Well, you know, that's because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Jude chapter 20 says that building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, as you're praying, whether you're praying in English, if you're praying in English effectively, or you're praying in a supernatural spiritual language, you are building yourself up. You are edifying yourself. And therefore, when you are built up and you are edified, you won't just jump out there and do stuff that you know is going to grieve your Father. Now, will you? Well, I'm glad I got one amen on that.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So And, you know, we're going to be teaching a lot of these things on the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that later on down the road. But, you know, you can really receive from God anytime by just simply asking Him. You know, if you want, if you have the right motives and you want the things of God for the right reasons, God will not hold back from you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do great things in your life. All you got to do is ask Him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, it says that He will not hold back the Holy Spirit from those who ask Him. Glory to God.
Amen.
So, turn with me to James chapter 4. I'm telling you, when you have been praying, when you have building yourself up on God's Word and in God's presence, you will not be so quick to sin. See, God, we saw last week that God is able to keep you from stumbling and falling, didn't we? We saw that God is able to, when you are faced with temptation, He has given you the ability to bear it. And that He is able to make a way of escape for you from the sin. So you see, God's divine ability to keep you from sin is made available by simply asking Him. See, when you're praying, you are requesting or you are appropriating for yourself the ability of God to keep you from stumbling and falling and to make an escape for you in a time of temptation. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. James chapter 4. You see, we all know who the tempter is, don't we? The tempter is Satan himself. It's not God who wants to see you fall and stumble. Yeah, God does. He tests. There's no denying that God does put us through tests. But He doesn't put you through tests to cause you to sin. He puts you through tests to see your faithfulness. And to help you to see whether you're faithful or not. Whether you can handle a certain task. Whether you can handle a certain office. Whether you can handle a certain thing. You know, before I became a pastor, I went through a whole lot of tests. You hear me? I don't understand it because some people get called to be pastors and they got thriving churches and they don't go through half of what I think I went through. Not complaining, Lord. But I mean, you know, I went through a whole lot of tests and I know they were of God, they weren't the devil. But then there were plenty of temptations that I knew were not from God. And I know that they were doing nothing but Satan bringing them my way, and I had to learn to deal with them. So look at James chapter 4, beginning at verse 5, it says, "Do ye think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" How many of y'all believe you got the Holy Spirit living in you?
Amen.
How many of y'all truly believe the Holy Spirit lives in you? All right, I know He's in me. Those of you who don't have the Holy Spirit in you, we're going to have an altar call afterwards. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because if you truly come to know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is living in you in some measure. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace." Say, "He giveth more grace."
He giveth more grace.
See, grace gives you the power to live above sin. "He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Then verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You see, you can't resist the devil successfully until you first do what?
Submit yourself.
Submit yourself to God. You have to submit yourself to God in order to successfully resist the devil. See, some of y'all who've learned about your authority in Christ, you forget sometimes that you need to first stay before God in prayer before you start trying to rebuke the devil all the time. You need to be in prayer and in God's presence, and then you will have successful authority over the devil. Verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God." Say, "Draw nigh to God." You need to get near God.
and he will draw near to you. You see, you know, God doesn't draw near to you till you first draw near to him. It's called a reciprocal relationship. Lori? Thank you. You is a reciprocal relationship. You act and God will react. Amen? If you want God's blessing, if you want God to draw near to you, first you must draw near to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let me read this to you from Kenneth Wiest's expanded translation of the New Testament. Kenneth Wiest is a Greek scholar, worked at Moody Bible College. He says, or do you think that the scripture says in an empty manner and to no purpose, the Holy Spirit, who has been caused to make his permanent home in us, has a passionate desire to control us to the point of envy, of any control indwelling sin may have over us. Moreover, he, the Holy Spirit, gives greater grace. For this reason, in conformity with this, he, the Holy Spirit, says, God sets himself in battle array against the arrogant and haughty, but gives grace to the humble and lowly. Be subject with implicit obedience to God at once and once for all. Stand immovable against the onset of the devil, and he will flee from you. Ooh, I like that. Y'all may not like that as much as I do, because y'all too quiet on me today. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you.
Yes.
Cleanse your hands, O sinners, and purify your hearts, O double-minded. A great man of God, T. Austin Sparks, wrote, prayer is submission, and here we must be aware of the possibility of a contradiction in terms. Prayer is submission. Passive inaction is what is called trust, is not prayer. We have heard people speak of trust, which for them means just passivity and inaction, but it is not prayer. Prayer is always active, not passive. Submission means getting into line with the divine mind. In other words, when I'm submitting to God, I'm not saying, okay, oh Lord, whatever will be. You know, some people, when they read Romans chapter 8, verse 28, they think that means that everything that comes my way, I'm supposed to sit there and say, well, that's the will of God. That's why it happened. No. True submission to God means that I find out what God's will is, and I do that. And when anything that comes contrary to the will of God comes my way, I stand against it and I resist it. Amen?
Amen.
Temptation to sin is not the will of God. God did not send the sin your way. The devil is the one trying to get you to sin.
Yes.
And you are to resist. When you submit to God, you are saying, God, I trust you. I trust your word. And if this is not your will, then I'm going to stand against that. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, last night we had a was faced with a strong temptation. I'm going to tell you all the good testimony about the van at another time. There's a negative part of this that happened to us. The man tried to, try to help us out. He tried to write a bill of sale that was less than what we actually paid for, so that we wouldn't have to pay a lot of taxes on it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize what he had done at the time. My wife noticed. And she was just breathing her spirit the whole day. Mm. And she came to me that night and she said, honey, she said, isn't this lying?
Amen.
Yeah. And I thought, I'm saying to myself, I don't know what to do. I said, we don't have our 501c. I'm trying to rationalize it, but we don't have our 501c3, so I shouldn't have to pay taxes anyhow. I mean, this is a Christian, why should the Lord of glory have to pay taxes?
Right.
I'm trying to rationalize all this, but all the inside, the Holy Spirit was like, no, no, no. And so the Lord told me, call that man and tell him you want him to write another bill of sale. So I called him up. He didn't answer. He called me back later on, and I told him, listen, I said, I can't do this.
I said, first of all, I got a church board that I need to present this to, and I got to show them that the right price that I paid for this. And he said, okay. He said, come on back and I'll write you another bill of sale. So when I get back, I'm going to write another bill of sale for the exact amount of money we paid for that thing.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, it was a strong temptation. Thank God for my wife. Y'all thank God for me.
Yeah.
Thank God for the money that's out to
you. She keeps your pastor straight, glory to God. You know,
we can't do, you know, we want God to bless Victoria's Word. Amen.
Yeah.
And God, He is not going to bless this ministry if we're going to compromise in sin. It's just not Him. So I had to submit myself to God. Resist the devil, and guess what? He went packing and went to your house.
Amen.
So,
I skipped mine.
You put him out, didn't you? So Sparks also wrote, submission is not merely the suppression of desire, but the bringing of desire into line with the divine will. And if needs be, changing desire. In prayer, submission is in view. That is very often what has to be done. That strength of desire has to be arrested in one direction and brought into another direction, perhaps from propelling us forward to bringing us to a standstill in the will of God. So when I'm submitting to God, I'm not saying everything that happens is the will of God. But, you know, I could have easily said, well, God blessed us.
Amen, yeah.
God, now we don't have to pay so much taxes on this thing. No, I had to resist that and stand against it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. How many of y'all remember my man Peter and how when Jesus was saying,
amen.
When our Lord Jesus, you know, I like to say, you know, I heard Genevieve say amen, so I think she know where I'm headed to. You know, my Lord Jesus is a wonderful Lord.
Amen.
But he can also be stern and be up front. You know, now Peter, I really identify a lot with Peter because he was silly, just like I am sometimes. Now Peter, when the Lord was about to be tried and persecuted and put on the cross and explain all that to his disciples. And Peter, you know, with his brave self talking about, well, Lord, that ain't gonna happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus told him, he said, Satan, get thee behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And so later on, Jesus told Peter, he said, listen, he said, Satan has asked that you may be sifted as wheat, but I pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, then when thou art converted, help your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, instead of listening, saying, okay, it's a time of temptation for me, Peter sat up there and said, oh, I'm going to be with you all the way, Lord. I will die with you. Uh-huh. And Jesus told him, he said, Peter, let me tell you something. The cock will not crow three times before you have denied me thrice. But Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I'm going to be with you all. How many of y'all know that's the spirit of pride?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Don't ever think that you're so bad.
Yes.
That you can do something, that you can face sin and defeat sin on your own.
Mm-hmm.
See, what Peter should have done was say, Lord, help me. Help me not to fall into this temptation.
Yes.
No, what he did was, oh no, that ain't happening to me, Lord. Yeah. They come at you, I'm going to whoop some tail. See, Peter was bad. You know, I was listening. You know, there was a man over in England who had a large church, and they found out that he was in an adulterous relationship for I think like 10 or 15 years with his church secretary. Now, here's the bad part about it. A friend of mine who knew him personally, wrote me and told me, he said that when Jim and Tammy Baker fell, the first thing he said was, that ain't never going to happen to me.
Mm.
Don't ever get in your mind that you're so bad, that you're so spiritual, that you're so holy, that you won't ever need divine assistance when you're faced with temptation.
Mm-hmm.
See, now look, because
why he fell into that temptation. Let me show you something in Matthew chapter 26. You really need to see this. I hope I'm not keeping you too long, but I really need to show you this. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. You know, I know Pastor Christy got some good word for y'all. And I'm going to try to make sure it gets recorded so I can get it, hear it and benefit from it. Matter of fact, I'll be back. He's still going to be preaching when I get back. You know, I ain't getting on that airplane and going to call myself preaching. I ain't no fool. Brother Troy knows he needs a rest. Praise God. And we know that Pastor Christy is an excellent teacher, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Let's look at verse 40. Now, this is Jesus. He's in a garden of Gethsemane. And he's being faced once again with temptation. He knows that he has to go to do the will of God, which is to die for you and me. And he had to suffer a great physical punishment. Why? Because we messed up. He has to suffer on our behalf. And he's sitting there, he's praying, God, if there is another way. Oh God. He said, all things are possible to you. Let this cup pass before me, but not your will, but mine be done. See, that's submission. Amen?
Amen.
That's submission. That's prayer and submission.
Amen.
But if you go down to verse 40, and he said, and it says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter. Now look who he's talking to.
Peter.
He's saying, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you know that even though Jesus prophesied to Peter what was going to happen, do you know that he could have changed that prophecy had he prayed?
Amen.
Somebody says, well, I don't believe it. I mean, I heard most of y'all say you do believe it. But there's probably somebody in the back of your mind saying, nah, once God gives a prophecy, that's what it is. No. Have you heard the story of Hezekiah? One day, Isaiah goes to Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick unto death. And God told him through Isaiah, get your house in order. He said, because you will die. You're dead. You're good as dead. Get the funeral arrangements done, boy. But you know what? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he said, God, remember how I have served you. Remember how I have all the things he said. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But you read it in Isaiah chapter 38, and also I think it's in 1st and 2nd Kings. I can't remember which one. But he began to pray. And then it wasn't, Isaiah didn't hardly get out of the courtyard before God said, go back and tell my servant Hezekiah that he will live 15 more years. And I will heal him. And I will deliver him from the hand of the Assyrians. See, that was a guaranteed promise. God didn't say, God didn't have no conditions on that prophecy. He said, you're dead. But Hezekiah prayed and he changed the course of his destiny. Peter could have changed the course of his destiny by simply praying. Jesus told him, why don't you watch with me 1 hour so that you will not enter into temptation? Prayer can keep you from getting into temptation. Prayer can keep you from sin. You don't have to go down that street. Say, oh yeah, she might call you up and she might tell you, don't you come over to my house tonight. And you're walking halfway down the street. You're almost near her house. You can still pray.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to wait. You don't have to say, well, it's too late now. I'm near the corner. You don't have to wait and say, well, I'm at her house. I already knocked on the door. It's too late. Might as well sin. No. You can pray. While you're at the house, when you knock on the door, you can still pray. Oh, God, what am I doing?
Yes.
When she opened the door, you can say, listen, baby, I just came over to tell you Jesus loves you. Bye.
was saying how
he took the woman to the hotel and then he was convicted. And then before anything happened, so he goes out and he calls his pastor and he said, "Pastor, she's in the hotel and I don't know what to do. What do I do, Pastor?" He said, "Run." He said, "But she's already at the hotel." He said, "I don't care. Run." He said, "My kid is," he said, "run. You can leave her there. Run." Don't waste your time. Don't think you can fight it. You pray and you obey and get out of the way.
Amen.
Amen. You do not have to enter into temptation if you spend time in God's presence. Glory to God. So Peter fell into temptation because, not because Jesus prophesied it over him, but because he did not pray and change the course of temptation. Let me tell you something, baby. Prophecy is not fatalism. Yes, God knows the future, but God also knows the alternative future. God also knows that the future can be changed. God can tell you one thing, but he also knows that if you pray, he can change. You know, the God of the future can still change the future, amen?
Amen.
He can change things. You don't have to say, "Well, he done prophesied my doom. I might as well just settle for it." No, you read throughout the Bible, there's been many people who received prophecy of their doom, and they prayed, and God changed it. I mean, I'll share this with you, and then we're going to get ready to close out.
Amen.
You know Ahab was a wicked king, married that woman Jezebel. took Nadab's vineyard, killed Nadab and his son, took their vineyard, and just had a jolly old good time in the vineyard. And then Elijah came to him and said, "You know, because of what you did, God's going to make sure that you die. And that your flesh is eaten by dogs." But you know what? Ahab, as crazy and as evil as he was, he had some sense. He went back and he fasted and he prayed and started crying. "Oh, what did that happen to me?" God is so merciful. God went back and told Elijah, "Okay, because he humbled himself," say humbled himself. That's what submission is, humbling yourself. Humble yourself. Praying is submission. Praying is humbling yourself. Praying is saying, "God, I can't do it. I need you." Because Ahab humbled himself through fasting and praying, God told Elijah, "Forget it." He said, "It won't happen. What I prophesied to Ahab won't happen in this generation." So just because somebody received a prophecy doesn't mean that it has to be fulfilled. You know, I tell you right now, I believe America should have been destroyed by now. But it's only because of the plan of God's people that this country is still standing on a slim thread. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So prayer makes a difference. Prayer can make a difference in your personal life. If you truly love God, and you truly want to live holy, you will do what?
Pray.
You know, the great theologian, M.C. Hammer, once said,
amen,
in its most profound theological state, "We need to pray just to make it today." All right. We need to pray just to make it today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. How many of y'all was blessed today?
Amen.
How many of y'all received something today? Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. All his doubt, all I.